Chad Rick, Jeff Loggeman, and Tony Baselli bring you the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Baptist Health and Everbank.
Touchdown, Jacksonville!
Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, begins right now.
From the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field, Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, no Tony Baselli tonight.
Thank God.
Tell us how you really feel, Jeffrey.
It's just nice to have a break from Tony every once in a while. I'd tell him that if he was here, too. Are you looking at me like I'm crazy?
Yeah.
Nah. I'll tell him next week when he comes back. It was so nice on Jaguars Thursday when you weren't here.
Is he here last week? Next week, or is he out next week?
I don't know.
Let's look at the calendar. He's here next week, so you can tell him.
I will.
He'll probably listen to the podcast of this because he's so faithful to the show.
He might be listening right now, just decided he didn't want to come tonight. That's fine.
That's possible.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, that's very possible. So we'll just have to tough it out tonight, me and you.
I think we can handle it.
You think so?
I think we can.
Plenty to get to today. The Jaguars canceled the ninth OTA practice and went to four different health care places today, including a handful of hospitals here in Jacksonville. Miles Jack will be on the field next week, and we'll go around the National Football League as well. Let's start with today, though. This morning, Gus Bradley surprised the Jaguars.
Can I start it out by telling you my plans for the day? Okay, because it kind of involves what happened.
Go ahead, yes.
Okay, so, you know, I get up, you know, want to wake up early.
Let's go minute by minute here. Wake up.
I wake up, you know, 5:30 a.m., you know, crack the coffee pot.
Of course you do. The rooster's crowing.
Wake up. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And going to get a little workout in before I make it down to the OTA.
Shocking. You work out four hours a day.
Well, I got rehab to do.
That's right.
So, you know, I get it done real quick, and I get an email from the Jaguars at about 8:20. And the headline reads, players to visit area hospitals. And I was like, awesome. That's a great thing, right? So I didn't get past the headline. So I, you know, finish working out, hustle home, shower, change, you know, burn rubber to get down here at a legal speed, mind you.
Of course.
And I pull up, and there's – the first thing you look for is the Jaguars film guys, Mike Perkins and his guys. They had these periscope film towers now.
Yeah, they're new.
Back in the old days, the video guys.
As in, like, last year.
Yeah, last year. The video guys would get up in these big, giant commercial lifts, you know, that would take the camera and the person up.
And the person stuck up there for the whole practice.
For the whole practice, you know, thunderstorms, all that kind of stuff. Very dangerous. And now they have these gadgets that have basically like a big giant periscope with a camera, and it goes way up to the same height that they were at. But they're down at the bottom on the trailer, and they've got a joystick and zoom capabilities and all that kind of stuff. So the first thing you look for is the periscope. Which field are they on? One, two, or three? I don't see any periscopes. I start drive by the field, and I'm like, all right, let me take a closer look. So I kind of peek through the fence. I don't see anybody. I was like, what's going on? So I called Danny Ray, Dan Edwards,
the VP of communications,
senior vice president of communications, said, Danny, why are we practicing today? He said, they canceled practice to go visit the hospitals. I'm like, maybe I should have read the email
maybe
in a little
so.
Bit more detail.
Yeah, you're a headline reader.
It's okay.
Is what you are. So today, the group split up onto four different buses and visited Wolfson Children's Hospital, one bus there, another bus to the Ronald McDonald House, Nemours Children's Specialty Clinic, the other one, and Brooks Rehabilitation. The entire team went today, split up into position groups at each place, separated floors. So, for example, I was at Nemours with the offensive line and linebackers, and they split up interior offensive line on one floor, the tackles on another floor, linebackers on a third floor, and they rotated a couple of floors each and got to most every kid in the place today. It was really cool.
I think that is really cool. And I know that Jaguars.com has coverage of that.
Yeah, there's a full video on there, right?
Plenty of video of that. And, you know, this, I believe, this is the first time that this has happened in Jaguars history, where the entire team loaded up on buses just to go visit the kids at hospitals. I think it's a tremendous, and compliments and kudos to Gus Bradley, Dave Caldwell, for coming up with this idea, because, you know, traditionally most teams, including this team right here, for many years has done nine OTAs, and then they come in for the 10th OTA day, and then the 10th OTA day becomes some type of fun day, whether it be paintball, bowling, or something else. But then to utilize that fun day or sacrifice that fun day to go and to make a difference, you know, in somebody's life, a kid's life, to me, I thought that was brilliant. And I guarantee you there's a lot of kids that were very excited about the players' appearances in their hospital today.
No doubt. And it's for guys that might be apprehensive about a visit like this to a children's hospital, well, you have your teammates' support too. So you get out and have a chance to go with your whole team and maybe work your way into it a little bit more. Because if you're not around it a lot and you haven't been around it, you might be a little apprehensive about a situation like that.
Well, it's sometimes, it's, you know, and I think, you know, I say that the players, you know, brighten the lives of kids, but I can tell you firsthand, the reverse usually happens when you go in there and you get to hear the story of a young child that's battling some type of disease or illness or whatever. You know, it uplifts your spirits more maybe than what you've done for the child.
Sure. Yep.
You know, so. A great experience, and I'm sure the players were very excited to be able to do that. And I think after they kind of get an opportunity to reflect back on it throughout the day today, I'm sure that they thought it was a great experience for them as well.
Full video of all the visits today on Jaguars.com. Blake Bortles, the quarterbacks, and the defensive backs were at the Ronald McDonald House today. Wide receivers, tight ends, and I believe the defensive line were at Wilson Children's Hospital. And as I said, offensive line linebackers at Nemours and the specialists and running backs made the visit to Brooks Rehab
yeah. So. Yeah, cool thing, man. That's a great job, and the players will be on the field tomorrow for their last OTA day.
By the way, Jeff Lickenbach, fairly new addition here, was the designated baby holder of the group today.
Oh, yeah?
Because I think he's the only offensive lineman with kids, if I'm right.
Okay.
So every time there was a little baby, for a photograph, he was the one in the middle that got the hold. He has most experience holding babies.
That's good.
So that made sense today.
That's good. I know that I've been to the, you know, when you go to like a neonatal intensive care unit, I mean, there's some babies that literally can fit in one hand. They're so small, you know. And I've done those visits before, and it's
Did you do a lot of
it
those?
It is eye opening. Yeah, but I mean, back, you know, and I think, you know, a lot of people, and I've had this question many times from people around Jacksonville. They say, you know, back when you guys played, you know, referring to the, you know, the early years '95 through, you know, '99 or whatever, you guys used to always be out in the community, and you know, the players aren't out in the community as much, and that's not true. And I tell people that because, you know, back in 95, 96, when everything was so new, anything that a player did got covered.
Anything.
I mean, there was a camera there basically following you lockstep everywhere you went for things like that. And I'm not trying to blame, you know, any of the news people. I'm just saying is that, you know, the newness of it maybe has worn off as far as covering it on a daily basis like it used to be covered. But those things still happen. And you know, Wayne Weaver did a great thing. And I remember when I came here and signed my first contract, in that contract it actually stipulated that you had to do X number of community appearances a year to satisfy your Jaguars contract.
Really?
That never happened anywhere else. I mean, any other contract that I had with the New York Jets, it didn't exist. They didn't have that.
How many were there a year that you had to fulfill?
I want to say it was either 5 or 8. Why? Those two numbers are sticking in my mind.
Some crooked number. Okay.
You know, of course, I mean, you always – everybody surpassed it, you know, and didn't need to have it in the contract. But I just thought that it was a classy move by Wayne Weaver and Tom Coughlin and Michael Hughes to insert something like that in the language of the contract just to show the importance of participating in the community, to show how important that it was. And so for all the people out there think that maybe, you know, back in the old days the guys did more, no. I mean, the players of today do as much, if not more, than what we did going back to 95 and 96 and 97. It's just the amount of coverage on it is different. There's not as many cameras covering it. But I know Jaguars.com does a great job of covering all the different appearances that the players do.
Thanks for that. We appreciate that. Thank you for watching.
Well, I'm a part of Jaguars.com, dude.
Yes, you are.
Look, you know, I'm, that's like self-plug there, too.
Yeah, I guess it kind of is.
Yeah.
When was the last? You haven't been on the site in a while, though, man.
What do you mean I haven't been on the site?
You haven't been on a video in a while with us.
Well, wasn't I on for the Medicine of Miracles?
Yeah, I guess that was. What was that, a week ago?
Which was a tremendous fundraiser that
we
had
2 weeks ago. Yeah, but it was like a brief. You know, it was brief. It was like the first time in months.
Trust me, JP. People will get plenty of me in about 2 months, which we are, what, 2 months and 2 days away from the opening of the first preseason game.
That's right.
Is that right?
I believe so, right?
Because
the 11th of August?
Yeah, the 11th of August, and today's the 9th, so we're 2 months and 2 days away from the preseason opener.
Wow. At New York against the Jets.
The Jets. The famed Jets, and we will find out if it's either going to be Geno Smith or Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Well, if Fitzpatrick's around, it'll probably be both of them at some point.
Yeah, but I'm talking about walking out of the tunnel first out of the gate.
That's true. Also this week, the Jaguars Foundation held their annual golf tournament.
You were there?
Golf and Country. I was there all
day. I bet your face was all over .com for that.
We had a live show there. Mark Lamping joined us.
Nice.
It was a
did you get to play golf?
I did not play golf.
No, that's probably a good thing.
Drove around with the head coach most of the morning so he could see most every group that played, and then hosted the pre-ceremony and the post-game awards, all that stuff. And a lot of money raised for the Jaguars Foundation, who all 365 days a year help out the Jacksonville community. So a lot of players were out there on Wednesday as well playing for a good cause, and then back out in the community today, just to follow up and
yeah,
point there.
The Jaguars Foundation does a great job. Peter Racine does a tremendous job in raising money for different projects in and around the Jacksonville community, and kudos to him and his staff. I know Renzo is very active in that.
Renzo Shepherd.
A great job by UJP of being the MC of the pre and the post golf tournament, right?
Yeah.
I'll give you a little credit there.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, you do a good job with that stuff.
Not as good as you. You should do more of that stuff, by the way. If you see the video from the Children's Miracle Network
I haven't
event,
seen that yet.
You should do more of that. You only do that one a year, right? I mean, you do
some
hunting and fishing
stuff, right?
Well, that's
what I get asked to do. I mean, that's what I get asked to do. That's what all they – I mean, they want you. JP, you're in much more high demand than
yeah,
me.
I don't know about all that.
And I like that.
Tomorrow, then, last OTA, after a Wednesday off and a Thursday in the community, what do you expect from the guys on a Friday, the last organized team activity practice?
I think run-of-the-mill. You know, it was interesting in that last week you started to see a little bit of chippiness, you know, because guys were kind of getting tired of it. You know, even though it's only 10 days, I mean, but once you get into, you know, practice number 5, 6, it's, even though the amount of work is different than in years past, I mean, it's still a grind because you're there working out every day, and then you've got on-the-field stuff. And there were a couple near skirmishes last week.
I don't remember that.
Well, that's because you are busy talking to other people on the sideline and not watching practice
Thanks,
much.
Jeff. Yeah, that's nice. I'm glad you showed up every day, too.
But there were.
Oh, yeah, you did.
And I was hoping for one that would come to fruition. Ngakoue and Mercedes Lewis had a little bit of it, you know, because and it happens every year. There's a young player that thinks that the NFL is not allowed to hold. And Mercedes has some of the best hands and some of the strongest hands of any tight end in the league. He's literally like a left tackle at times in pass protection. And he snatched Ngakoue. And Ngakoue didn't like it. And I'm just sitting there going, Ngakoue, that's not a guy you want to mess with. Go ahead, because he might make you look bad. And it all kind of simmered down. And I was hoping for a little rematch later in practice, but it didn't happen. I kept looking for it, but it didn't happen. And there was a couple other times where things got a little pushy, you know, but that's okay.
That's good, right?
It's competition. If that doesn't happen, you're not teaching competition. And that's a sign to me that, you know, you got a prideful group, and I like that. The better the players, the more competition, the more pride, and the more pride in your performance, every play exists. And that's what I liked seeing about that.
Would you expect a handful of the bigger names not to do much tomorrow? Last OTA, mini camp next week. Let's get out of this thing as healthy as we can.
No, because, you know, you got a mini camp next week, and so what? I mean, the mini camp is what, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday?
Yeah.
And I don't think you curb anything you do, you know, because, you know, the coaches and everybody has talked for so long about how the off season you have such a limited window of exposure with the players. And so with a limited window, unless there's a legitimate reason, medically or otherwise, to hold a player out, every player should do exactly what they should be doing, which is practicing football. No, you don't hold them out. You know, and in years past, you might say, well, you know, put this guy in bubble wrap so he doesn't get hurt. You know, we kind of had that commentary about Julius Thomas last year.
Yeah, sure.
And then he ended up having the thumb issue in a preseason game, first preseason game that he had. But, you know, no, let him play. It's the way it is.
SunPass is a proud partner of the Jags. Use it to reach your goal, whether that's the Gulf Coast, the Atlantic Coast, the Florida Keys, or even Georgia and North Carolina. SunPass, catch one today. When we come back, a little Miles Jack talk. He'll be on the field next week at mandatory minicamp. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, continues right now.
And this portion of Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by your Southern Ford dealers, J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Baselli out this week. But Jeff, don't fret. He'll be back next week.
Oh, good.
Season tickets are on sale. Come see the Jags face the Packers, Vikings, and the defending champion Broncos. And much, much more here at Everbank Field. Get your seats today at Jaguars.com or call 633-2000. Operators are standing by right now as we speak to discuss with you your season and single-game ticket options.
You know what I'm looking forward to, too, also in training camp, is a little change of pace because the Bucks coming in.
Oh, yeah. That'll be
17th and 18th, right. Yeah, with those practices open to the public. And I always look forward to those type of practices when you have a little familiarity with the staff. And it's been, I think, going all the way back to the Del Rio era when Mike Smith was the head coach with the Atlanta Falcons to where this occurred. And it's great because the competition level goes up. You can kind of have a little bit more of a measuring stick with your players against other competition. Mm-hmm. And you know, Dirk Koetter, Mike Smith, a lot of the staff that Dirk Koetter's assembled is the staff that was here under Del Rio. And so it's always good to have those practices with the opposing coaching staff with a lot of names and faces that you know. And also a roster that you know. Because, you know, we saw him last year.
Played him, yep.
Got a chance to. Obviously, Lovie Smith was the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at that time. But, you know, you got a little familiarity with their personnel. And so your evaluation, you know, as an analyst, you know, you can kind of say, okay, that guy for Tampa, he's a good player because I've seen him, I know him. And so then when you can watch those players against your own players, you get a gauge. You know, it is. It's a measuring stick to see where they're at.
Since I've been with the Jags, I've never seen the Jags practice against another team. So is it all the individual stuff on separate fields, and then they work on together on a field, team work on a field together?
That's basically multiple fields. And it's, you know, the coaches will coordinate some of that because, you know, everything that Dirk Koetter does in Tampa may be different than what Gus Bradley does here in Jacksonville. But, you know, you still have your individual periods. So you'll have two fields basically going at the same time, and then you have, you know, more intense competitive one-on-one drills, whether it be, you know, pass rush drills or what we call half line 9-on-7, mm-hmm. which is run drill, or if it's wide receivers versus defensive backs. You know, those things are all highly competitive, and to me, that's the best part about it. The practices that the Jaguars had in Atlanta were great because, I mean, for one, we stayed at a pretty nice place. It wasn't very far from the Falcons facility, and the Falcons facility is top-notch, one of the best in the National Football League and has been for many years. And the way it was run was very smooth. And the practices almost get a little bit shorter just because of the you're not having to be a looked squad for your own team. So you got two fields kind of going on at the same time, so it kind of condenses it a little bit. I like it. I'm looking forward to that.
That'll be fun. Yeah. When does camp officially start, by the way?
Is it the veterans report on, I just got the calendar here, on July 27th. The rookies, quarterbacks, injured players, I think, report on the 25th.
It's a Monday, yeah. So mm-hmm. Wednesday of that week is veterans reporting.
The first practice will be the 28th of July, you know, ballpark. You know, and they have the the acclimation period where they're not in pads. What is it for three, four days? And then, you know, then they get into the pads and go from there. And typically you have no pads, just helmets. And then it'll be uppers, you know, for a couple practices, which is shoulder pads, which, in my opinion, you just, if you got shoulder pads on, it's full go. But then they can go to, they'll go to full pads after that. So looking forward to that because, you know, I mean, one of the big things that we're looking at about really looking forward to with this football team is the improvement of the running game of the offense and then also the development of the offensive line now that they have some parts that are going to be new, you know, and we don't know obviously about Kelvin Beachum's availability at the first part of training camp.
Right.
Returning from an ACL, but I can't wait to watch and see how Brandon Linder, you know, makes that transition to center because, you know, I wasn't one of the guys that was saying it's not going to work, but I was like, wait a minute, you just can't assume that it's going to be smooth because that's something that, you know, a lot of guys have done for a long period of time, and I know Tony said, well, you know, Wisniewski did it for a long period of time, still had Aaron snaps. Yeah, but still, it's a little bit more second nature to somebody that's been doing it a long time. And Brandon Linder has impressed me throughout training camp. I've watched him on everything that he's done. I've watched his snaps. I've watched his shotgun snaps. Correct me if I'm wrong. Have you seen a bad shotgun snap or an exchange issue with him and a quarterback?
Not that I remember off the top of my head, no.
Yeah.
But like you said, I talk to a lot of people on the field, so I don't know. I mean, I'm not.
That, you probably missed something.
Who knows? I mean, you called me out earlier, so that's fine.
But, I mean, there's been.
No, I honestly have not seen that I can remember.
You know, they're rolling a lot of guys, you know, at that center position. I mean, everybody's getting snaps. You know, they do that.
Snaps,
yeah, they do that in, you know, in training camp where they're cross-training everybody. But, I mean, for Linder to be able to, first of all, he's coming back from a pretty significant shoulder injury and shoulder surgery. But then to come back from that and then to step right in to a new position, which him and Blake Bortles are very good friends, and to have him make that transition, what appears to be seamless so far, is very encouraging. And because, you know, like we said before, your best interior offensive lineman should always be at center. Because I've always said this, the center blocks more people on every play that can affect that play than any other offensive line position. And he's the captain of the ship, so to speak. And Linder has made a very smooth transition. He seems to be handling the calls very well. And I'm very encouraged. But I still want to see him in pads.
Jeff, for 2 years we've heard the name Tyler Shatley around here as a strong part of the offensive line, a chance to make it strong in a tight window. He's the strongest on the team, you said at the
dinner
the other
night.
Well,
in the weight room, he is the strongest player in the Jaguars' weight room.
When are we going to see him on the field?
Great question. You know, I hope that at some point that he will get an opportunity to compete at the left guard spot. Because I think that he is a very talented player. I think he's scrappy. I think that he moves people, which, you know, there's a lot of offensive linemen in the league that are more body position blockers, and Shatley is a movement blocker. He moves people. So I'm looking forward to watching him compete, and I'm looking forward to the offensive line as a whole compete against the defensive line, which is obviously going to be a big focus of, you know, the preseason and the entire regular season with new defensive coordinator Todd Walsh / defensive line coach. So, yeah, but I like Shatley. I think he's, first of all, throw out that he's the strongest guy in the Jaguars weight room. He plays strong because there's a lot of people that have played the game that are not weight room strong that play the game strong. Leon Searcy was a perfect example. Leon Searcy would get in a weight room and he'd have a hard time bench pressing 300 pounds. But if you ever felt Leon Searcy's power, which I have many times, it was one of those moments that would take your breath away, especially if he hits you in the chest. Mm-hmm. But even feeling it, there are some guys that have it. And I remember the first time I ever felt it. It was my freshman year at Virginia.
Okay. You're a little smaller then.
Yeah, sure. I was wiry, though.
Oh, were you?
Oh, yeah, I was wiry.
All right.
Okay. And we had a backup offensive lineman, and we had a marquee running back that was like a four-star recruit that was out of the Washington, D.C. area. His name was Howard Petty. And Howard, many people viewed that Howard, because Howard Petty and this offensive lineman, his name was John Burns, mm-hmm. that were kind of a package deal, you know, which, you know,
you never know.
You know, we get both of them, that way we can get Howard. And John had a nickname. His name was John Trashcan Burns. Okay, all and right. The reason his nickname was Trash Can is because his body looked like a trash mm-hmm. can. It was not good to look at.
Right.
Okay. So, counters were something that were completely foreign to me in college because I hadn't seen
the counter run play yet.
And didn't run it. Well, they run a counter. I false step, and then I took two false steps to the way that the counter was supposed to suck you to, which mm-hmm. I was totally sucking on it. And as I planted my foot and went to go back the proper way, John Trashcan Burns hit me right in the ribs. Okay, and I had time to prepare to feel it, but I didn't have enough time to prepare to kind of counteract it, but more than enough to withstand the blow. And after about 30 seconds, when I could finally breathe, I went, I've never felt that ever in my life. But he was one of those guys that could generate, and he played the game very powerful. But you put in the weight room, he was like Leon. He couldn't
keep up,
lift any weight. Mm-hmm. You know, so Shatley is a guy that weight room strength transfers over to the field.
You know, they used to say that about me. I was a movement blocker back in my day. Jeff.
Is that right?
That's true. Yeah. Don't look down. Yeah.
Movement blocking dummy.
Republic Just Services is the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida. The official waste provider of the Jags, proudly serving the residents and businesses of Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all your waste and recycling solutions, and they will take it from here. We'll talk Miles Jack and a little defensive back. A little defense when we come back. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, continues right now.
SunPass is a proud partner of the Jags. Use it to reach your goal, whether that's the Gulf Coast, the Atlantic Coast, the Florida Keys, or even Georgia and North Carolina. SunPass, catch one today. And this portion of Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Fanatics.com. J.P. Shadwick, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Buscelli out and about tonight. He'll be back with us next week, as will Miles Jack. He'll be back with us next week. He'll be on the field. The commencement ceremonies at UCLA are tomorrow, I believe. And that's the
rule. Is he graduating, by the way?
No. He left early.
That's right. He was.
But he can't practice.
But he was a. Was he a true junior?
Yes.
Right. He was a true junior.
I believe so. Yeah. Yes. And played three games in his.
But I mean, there's by the reason I asked that. I mean, there are some guys that have graduated in 3 years now. You know. I mean.
Remember, he withdrew though. He left school right. after he got hurt.
Which, you know. I hope he goes back to school, you know, at some point to get the degree, you know, because that, I mean, that's important. I mean, you need to set the example to your future generations. And so I was one of the guys I was reading about just recently in the NFL went back and was working on his college degree. And I applaud guys that do that. And I think that all of them should do that. And the NFL makes it so easy for the players in the NFL to get work towards their degree. I mean, they have, you know, like here in for the Jaguars, Marcus Pollard, which, you know, does all of the off-the-field education things for the players.
Player development.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And part of that role is to help players, you know, to facilitate the journey of completing your degree. And Jacksonville obviously has, you know, UNF and JU and other universities that are close by to where players can work towards that degree. I hope Miles Jack does that.
And Marquise Lee is one that has gone back and went back again this season to continue working towards his. So
and good for him.
Miles Jack, the rule was he couldn't practice until the senior class of UCLA has graduated. So that happens officially tomorrow. So he'll be on the practice field next week. He's been in the playbook.
By
He's
the way,
been in contact.
I like the rule.
Do you?
I do like the rule.
Why?
Because it encourages the players to stay in school to complete it. Because it takes the choice away from the collegiate player. Because, you know, there, I guarantee you this has happened. If it were left up to the player, you would have a coach in the National Football League that would be saying to a guy like Miles Jack, if he were still in school, man, you need to be here. You need to be here. You're a player in the National Football League now. And what the rule does is take the onus off the player and that he doesn't have to tell the coach, no, I'm going to stay in school and work towards my degree. So that's why I like the rule. And I wish Miles Jack had stayed and not worried about training and everything else because he could have done all that while going to school. Trust me, JP. Okay, rehab and preparing for the combine and everything else, those things are all doable while still being in school. It happens every day.
Right. But the rule was put in when? Early 90s, right?
Been around for a while.
Yeah.
Been around for a while. But I'm looking forward to watching Miles Jack on the field.
Yeah, now he's been in the playbook. He's been in contact with the coaches. That's all allowed. He just hasn't been able to be in the building, except for, I think, an occasional medical check, but nothing.
Yeah, he was in, what, last week for that?
Yeah, and that's one day. So, but can't communicate with coaches in that time period. So he'll be back, and you know, he should be coached up and ready to go. It's just physically,
well,
he's going to be ready.
He's going to be behind. I mean, that's just the reality. I mean, you know, repetitions are key for a young player. He's going to be behind. You know, the one thing I think that is good and that, you know, the Jaguars don't run a Rex Ryan overly complicated defense. But I think the transition for, you know, on defense, the demanding position is linebacker because you have run fits and you have coverage responsibilities. Okay, as a defensive back, you have run fits as well at times, but the coverage is, you know, it's kind of on an island. It's your world, okay, whereas the linebacker, you're coordinating a couple worlds. Your world, the defensive back world, and the defensive front world. So that's the position that's probably more difficult than any to adapt to on defense. So he's going to be behind, and that's to be expected. But from my understanding, he's a smart kid, smart young man, and that he'll pick it up fine. The one thing that he doesn't have to worry about that you don't have to coach up is speed. And that's going to help him. You know, and out of the gate, when he does individual drills, he's going to look fast and he's going to look good. But then when he gets into team drills, he won't look as fast and as good because the mind is going to be churning and trying to figure out where I need to be. You know, and that will take time. Not a big deal, though.
I had a question on Twitter earlier from Chris Westside JX. Question, who would be the week one nickel defensive back, in your opinion, right now? Because Aaron Coleman will not be there.
It could be Ramsey. It could be – I don't think it would be Amukamara.
You don't think Ramsey would be outside?
I mean, it could be. I think a lot of that depends on what they see in training camp. You know, they want to. I'm sure that because, you know, he's played nickel at Florida State, so he's got some experience there. And you probably want to see how quickly he learns the one position first, which is corner, and then after that, then you can make adjustments. But I mean, there are guys that can slide. Inside Peyton Thompson is an option. He's got great positional flexibility. Did a good job for the Jaguars. I think in one game he actually played – in one game I think he played corner, nickel, and safety all in one game.
That's right, yeah.
Now, was that the Patriots game? I don't remember which one it was, but he played like all three positions. So, and he did a very good job. But, I mean, not having Aaron Colvin in that position, it's, you know, it's going to be tough. But, you know, I mean, here's the best thing. You have more options this year in the defensive backfield than you've ever had in the Gus Bradley, Dave Caldwell era. You're going to figure something out. It's not that big of a deal. But Aaron Colvin has short area quickness, and the nickelbacks are the guys that you like that have short area quickness because they have to be able to also be a player in the run defense. They might blitz. They have to be able to cover typically quicker slot receivers like a Wes Welker type. And the long, rangy, Demetrius McCray types, those guys don't typically fit at nickel. It's somebody that has to be able to have that quick area movement.
As Aaron Colvin says, you have to have some dog in you when you play on
the
inside.
Well, dog can describe a lot of things. And it can be used in a lot of different
ways. In a good way.
Yeah, because dog can be a negative term, and he's a dog.
Right.
Or even, man, he's got some dog in him
now,
which means he's going to bite.
Right.
So, I mean, it depends on how you use the term.
That's how he used it. It was the second way.
But I wouldn't use the term dog for nickel because it's a certain skill set. It's not whether the guy has some dog in him, because some guys can have dog at corner, but they don't have dog at nickel.
Okay.
You know, the positive dog.
Yeah, not the negative. We're talking positive dog here, not negative dog.
But it's a skill set, to me, that really defines that position. And it's a unique skill set. And Aaron Colvin has the perfect skill set in this secondary to play nickel. And he's a smart young man. Aaron Colvin is very smart, very intelligent. Some would say, well, he's not because he got suspended for the first four games. They would respond with that, but mistakes are made, and he has the skill set to play it.
Let me ask you this, since we're on this topic. When he comes up for free agency, will that cost him money, being a nickel corner?
Well, it depends on what other roles that he has. You know, is he a nickel on the nickel defense, or is he a nickel only on nickel defense? You know what I mean? So does he play corner and nickel?
And then move over?
It depends on what other roles that he fills.
Okay.
Whether or not, when you use the term cost him money.
Could it be, I guess, a negative in negotiation? Hell, this guy's just a nickel guy.
If he plays corner and he plays nickel, it's a boost. You're going to get paid more.
He can do both.
Because he can do both and he can perform it at a very high level. If he is just a nickel, yes, it would impact your ability to earn more money because you have a defined role instead of he can do both, and he can do both very well. Hmm. I mean, it's the way it is. I mean, the more guys that have positional flexibility, the better it is for them. You know, so, but it's going to be interesting to watch. I mean, it's a group, the secondary, that I think is going to have competition that will continue throughout the season. I don't think once you get to the season, this is it. I don't think that's the way it's going to be. I think that it's going to be a continuing process throughout the season. And I don't think I'm not saying that that's a negative. I'm saying that can be a positive from the aspect of is that if one performance for a stretch of time is not good enough, you have options. In the past couple of years, you didn't have options. Okay, you had what you had. You had guys that could start, and you had guys that you were looking to replace.
Yeah.
But you couldn't replace everybody in 1 year. So this year, I think that's a real positive.
How about Tashawn Gibson flying around the field? You can see why he got paid the money he did.
Yeah, I mean, he looks good, and
it's short.
I think defining the defense by Todd Walsh, I think, is going to make this unit much better because of the lack of a pure free safety over the first couple years of this regime has made you play the safeties as an interchangeable position. Mm-hmm. This defense was built to play it like Seattle plays it. You have a free, you have a strong. You have
box.
A Cam Chancellor who plays in the box. Okay, now who is that going to be for the Jaguars? TBD. We're to be determined.
Cyprian or Sample.
We're
going to
find
guys.
Out.
Yeah,
we're sure. Going to find out. You know, but we know, at least now you know, it's defined that you have Gibson as the free safety. Looks like he has excellent range. And I go back to the statements that I made when I watched his free agent film. Mike Pettine, who was my old college roommate at Virginia, was playing Tashawn Gibson in a nickel role and a strong safety role, and he was playing Dante Whitner as a free safety. How in the world do you play Dante Whitner as a free safety? He's a guy who almost legally changed his name to Hittner. So why are we playing a guy that's going to change his name to Hittner? Why are we playing him as a free, and we're playing a guy who had how many interceptions he had first 3 years? Was it 11, 12,
yeah,
13?
It was a good amount.
Way more than Dante Whitner.
Yes.
Playing him in that role, I never understood that. And I think that because of the shortcomings of coaching with Mike Pettine or whoever made the determination that Sean Gibson was not going to be free, I think cost to Sean Gibson money, but at the same token, I think it saved the Jaguars money because they misused him in Cleveland.
Well, they'll use him the right way here, and they have so far, and they will moving forward. Get the latest transportation news and information on the award-winning Making Moves TV show. Watch every week on the first Tuesday of the month at 12:30 on Channel 4 and every Thursday after Nightline on ABC 25. We'll look around the National Football League when we return. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, continues right now.
Check out the Hanania Automotive Group. They've got 10 brands, hundreds of vehicles to choose from, and thousands in savings. JP Shattuck, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Baselli back next week. Hey, remember, World Cup Soccer is coming to Everbank Field. Clinton Dempsey and the U.S. Men's National Team will take on Trinidad and Tobago. September 6th, be the first to find out about tickets at jaguars.com/USMNT. You're a big soccer guy, Jeff. I know.
You know, I actually enjoy watching soccer, and I think I enjoy watching soccer more so because of the crowds
and the chanting
and how into it that they are.
The flares.
It's intriguing to watch it. And when I was over in Europe, Scotland, I remember going through the airport.
Hunting grouse.
Yeah, and there was a big game, and I think it was the championship that. And I'm not well versed in soccer, but it was a championship game.
I can't wait to hear this.
Okay, and all through the airport, you were just hearing this, and they get quiet. And I'm like, what the hell's going on? And like every television that was around any kind of restaurant or anything at the airports had the soccer game on, and it was just, I mean, people were glued to the TV. The bars were full, and many passengers were around in the corridor trying to get one last, you know, look at the game prior to boarding their plane to go to wherever. And so it's pretty wild.
Let's look around the National Football League and start off with the Denver Broncos, who visited the White House earlier this week.
Malik Jackson
was there too.
Yeah. Did they get him a coach ticket too?
That I don't know.
Okay, because I was wondering, because Danny Trevathan, who I guess signed with the Chicago Bears, had tweeted out that, thanks, Bronx, for the coach ticket. I guess he was expecting a first-class ticket to Washington to be with his team.
Really?
He could have upgraded himself,
yes,
right?
He could have.
I think he's making enough money to do it himself.
What are you doing?
But can you imagine Malik Jackson? I mean, he's like 6'5", 6'6", 330 pounds, 320, whatever. He's 315. I don't know, wherever he is. He's a big man.
Yes.
And it'd be like the nightmare, and that you know, here you are, right? You're sitting in one of those three seat rows, and it's you and some other person, and the middle seat is open, and you see Malik Jackson get on the plane. It's like almost ready to close the door, and Malik Jackson walks on the plane, and you're sitting there thinking to myself, please don't let him have this seat. Please don't let him have this seat. And then all of a sudden he stops and puts a bag in the overhead bin right over your head.
I'm here in the middle.
Yeah, I'm right there in the middle. You mind if I get in there? You're like, oh, my God.
All legs and arms for about 3 hours.
But with the $90 million, I think Malik Jackson probably upgraded himself to first class if he wanted to.
Or his own plane if he wanted to.
And if he did not have to tweet that he got a coach ticket from the Broncos.
So Malik went. Osweiler.
Maybe Malik got a first class ticket because he recovered the fumble that Vaughn ended up causing. So, you know, maybe he did get a first class.
Osweiler ticket. Did not go. Malik said earlier this week in the locker room that he will not go for the ring ceremony. He'll have him just ship it to him. So hopefully he'll be here the next day. But speaking of the Broncos, Von Miller negotiating a long-term deal with the Broncos rejects an offer of $114.5 million.
How many years?
I don't know.
Well, that's important, JP.
If the sides fail to reach an agreement by July 15th.
Because if it's like 10 years, I mean, it's not a good deal for him.
If they can't reach an agreement, Miller would play out the 2016 season on the $14.129 million franchise tag. Or he could sit out.
He's not going to sit out. You know, I mean, you're not going to sit out because the franchise tag, it's $14 million. And then if you end up playing under that tag for a year, then the following year the increase has to go up. I can't remember what the percent is, but it would make the second year of a franchise tag like a crazy number.
Yeah.
You know, so.
It was a 6-year offer, by the way.
6 years? I mean, it's not bad.
6 years, 114. It'd be
how
the
much
highest
is guaranteed?
Paid
any report on the guarantee?
Stand by on that.
Because, I mean, the guaranteed money is where you want to be if you're a player. I mean, that's the money that you're assured of taking home when your name gets signed on the dotted line. That's what you're assured of.
The Broncos' offer included, this is from ESPN, included nearly $40 million guaranteed in the first 2 years. Yeah, so there you go.
I mean, it's including good money, but, I mean, he's the best defensive player in football. More power to him
better
to
than
get
Watt?
Everything that he can.
Better than J.J. Watt?
Yeah, arguably. I mean, those are the two best players. I mean, yeah. I mean, those. I don't want to say he's better than J.J. Watt, but those are the two best defensive players in football right now.
I'll give you that, yeah.
You know, so, yeah. You know, he's going to get paid a lot of money. You know, a lot of those guys are going to claim that, look, you know, I'm as impactful, and Von Miller was as impactful in that Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
More so than any of the quarterbacks that played in that game, right? So, I mean, wouldn't your argument be that, you know, hey, look, if I'm that impactful of a player, shouldn't I be paid according to or at equal points with a quarterback? Well, I mean, you could make that argument, right?
Absolutely.
You know, so
and
I mean,
he will.
More power to him. More power to him. He's a fantastic player.
Speaking of players who are about to get paid, Jim Irsay believes the Colts can come to terms with Andrew Luck on a contract extension before training camp. He said, quote, it's going to be a big number, and they want to make sure the contract is something that is Colts-friendly as we approach the next decade. $25 million is not out of the question.
No, but let me ask you this. If your name is J.P. Irsay, you're the owner of the Colts.
Okay. I'm probably, yeah. Okay.
Just saying, I'm, okay.
I'd be good with that.
Let's play a little dream here.
Okay.
And you're right, and you're getting ready to pay your quarterback $20+ million a year. That'd be a big number, wouldn't it?
That's a lot of money.
Okay.
Yes.
So that's a lot of money. It's a lot of money. But he's arguably the best young quarterback in the game today. And last year, you know, with the injury that he had, he didn't play an entire season. But when he's played for that football team, look at the record. What is it? 10-11 wins every year that he's been a starter for
That's
the Colts.
Right.
I mean, and it's not a great roster. We've made that comment for many years here.
Hasn't been a great division.
Ryan
either.
Grigson had. You want to talk about, and to use a baseball term, which you're familiar with, okay? That meatball pitch right down the middle, okay? That meatball pitch right down the middle was Andrew Luck being available to Ryan Grigson when he took over as general manager.
Absolutely.
Okay, because if you evaluate everything else that Ryan Grigson has done for that Colts roster, you could argue that it has been great. But because he drafted Andrew Luck, it has bought him time. Because if he didn't have Andrew Luck, would he still have his job? Maybe not. Maybe
that's
not.
That's true, because that's been a little while now.
Maybe not. Andrew Luck is going to be worth what they pay him.
Cam Newton is retiring the dab as a celebration for touchdowns and says he'll try something new this year, but he wouldn't say what.
Well, whatever.
Do you care?
Know? I mean, no, I don't care. Well, let him do whatever he wants. As long as he plays at a high level, you know, he can do whatever he wants. Within reason.
He didn't dab much in the Super Bowl.
And a lot, yeah, look, a lot of people think that what he does in celebration is offensive and they don't like it. I don't mind it one bit. You know? I think he's a exciting player. He is physically as talented as any quarterback that's ever played the game.
Ever.
I mean, just as
ever?
Far as What I mean by that, as far as the strength that, and I'm not talking about just being a quarterback. I'm talking about just the way, the strength level that he has. And he reminds me, because I remember JP going against, you know, you got some of the greats that I played against, you know, Marino and Elway.
Yes, Elway.
And Elway was so strong as a pass rusher. If you didn't get a hold of John Elway, forget it. Cam Newton's the same way.
Newton's a monster. He's huge.
And, you know, when you see him on television, I don't think it does it justice. Until you see him on the field, at field level, in close, up close, in person, and you go, God almighty, he is like a defensive end.
How are you going to tackle this guy?
And it's not like we're talking about a quarterback who's out of shape. I mean, he is sculpted in great shape.
Some NFL rulebook adjustments being leaked now. Players can no longer wear exposed hoodies over their shoulder pads. That's the James Jones rule for the Packers. You agree with that?
Yeah. No. I mean, if the
matter.
I mean, I don't care one way or the other. Okay. I mean, if the player wears a hoodie, just like hair, it's fair game.
That's a good point. Yeah, just grab the hoodie. Assistant coaches are now expressly prohibited from entering the field of play. That's the Joey Porter rule.
Excuse me. Joey Porter was on the field in the playoff game against Cincinnati Bengals. Okay. And got into a confrontation with Adam Pac-Man Jones and company. And no, Joey Porter, I think, got fined $10,000. In my opinion, he should have got fined more. And I think the Steelers should have gotten fined for that as well.
Because that penalty off that basically cost the Bengals the game, right?
Yeah, but where was the penalty for the coach on the field? They didn't throw the penalty. They should have thrown the penalty.
The penalty on Pac-Man cost the Bengals. The other one, the coin. If the coin does not flip, the referee is now directed to retoss with the captain's original call. That's the Cleet Blakeman and the divisional playoff rule, which he did that. And now it's an official rule in the rule book. So there you have it.
What's so hard about flipping a coin?
I've never seen that
ever.
Do we
really have to have a rule?
Yes, because it happened.
Because referees can't flip a coin? I mean, really?
Apparently we do.
I mean, come on, NFL.
Very detailed.
I mean,
so details.
Do we really need a rule about the coin flip?
Yes,
the coin should flip. That should be understood. It doesn't have to be written.
We'll talk to you next week. Jeff Lagerman, Tony Baselli will be back next week for Joe Fortunato. I'm JP Shadrick. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.